Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Well, hey, everybody.
We're on the 9?
Yes.
Yes.
9 sounds good.
Yeah. After 2, I kind of lost count. Not going to lie. But no, we're on the 9th story of this first appearance arc. And this is Justice League. The first appearance of Justice League together. If you want to check out our previous covers, check out our last 8 episodes. So give the credits for the Justice League. This is Brave and the Bold number 28. It was written or distributed by DC Comics in 1960. I was thinking 62 for some reason. The writer is Gardner Fox. The pencils are Mike Skowoski. Inks by Bernard Sachs, Joe Gila, Murphy Anderson. And then letters were by Gaspar Saldino. Saladino, sorry. And take it away.
Okay, so it opens up on Aquaman, who's telepathically talking mm-hmm. to a pufferfish.
All the fishies.
And the pufferfish tells him about a starfish, an interstellar traveling starfish that looks like Captain America's shield got stuck on his
starfish.
Yeah. But basically, the starfish is taking over the world. It's cloning itself. It makes some more starfish that are just like it.
Starro the Conqueror.
Yeah, Starro the Conqueror.
I mean, Starro is a long time villain.
It's a little sad and pathetic, don't get me wrong.
Well.
But this is also, then again, you know, like, this is, you know, way back in the day.
1960. So. Yeah,
exactly. Way before I was born.
Way before Joey was born.
Mm-hmm.
Probably way before most people are listening to us born. Anyways, Aquaman hits the Justice League transmitter on his belt to get a hold of the rest of the Justice League. Wonder Woman was making out with Steve Trevor.
Like you do.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, I gotta go, though. Jump in my invisible jet. Get out of here. And then Superman also hears the thing, and he's like, I got shit to do. I'm not showing up for this one. Sorry, guys.
Batman did the same thing, so.
Yeah. And then the Green Lantern's like, oh, what's going on here? I guess I better, what the hell was he doing?
I mean, he was probably flying.
Oh, yeah, he was flying in a plane, and he used his power ring to make the plane fly by itself until he could get back to it. And then Batman's like, I got shit to do. I'm not going for this call. And the Flash is like, well, I'll be there in a minute. I'm just going to make this tornado go away. And then...
I do like that both Batman and Superman are not in this. One, it shows the team can work without them.
Yes.
Because even back then, they were like their powerhouse.
Yeah.
For DC Comics. I mean, that's kind of how they are today, so...
Except for Batman.
More Batman than Superman right now.
Except for Batman. He's a big pussy.
Anyway. Batman kills people. Superman doesn't kill people. We've read those comics.
They're not dead. They're sleeping.
Okay, continue.
Anyways, then we get John Jones, not to be confused with John Jones. but anyways, Martian Manhunter. I'm sorry, the Manhunter from Mars.
I believe this is the first appearance of him as well. I could be wrong.
I don't know. You'd know better than I would.
I would know better. That one's on me. Let me double check that. You keep going.
Well, while you double check that, so the five of them, the Flash, the Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, and Aquaman.
I was wrong. That was not his first appearance.
Okay.
I'm dumb.
That's okay. We still appreciate you.
Okay.
But they're talking about Starro the Conqueror and his conquest of Earth. And, well, actually, I guess he calls them the Starfish Warriors. But anyways, they're like, well, since there's a bunch of them, we're going to have to split up to fight them. And I thought that was the end of it at first.
Well, yeah, then they get into...
but then it splits into the separate ones.
The anthology tales.
Yeah, so we have Starro versus the Green Lantern, which the Green Lantern finds this one of these Starros in the mountains somewhere. I don't remember actually where the mountains were. It just said the mountains. I assume they're somewhere in the United States, I guess. But you never know. But Starro is attacking a fighter pilot or fighter plane, a U.S. Air Force plane, and it wanted to take something from it. I don't remember what it was. Let me. Oh, they okay. So from the bomber plane, they stole an atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So this version of Starro steals this atomic bomb, and then it is flying away, and the Green Lantern uses his lantern ring to make a ramp for the crashing plane to slide down.
Sure.
Right. As opposed to, you know, just like
catching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways,
he's still early in his construction days.
Yeah. He hasn't quite gotten the creative handle on it yet. but he sees the Starro flying away, so he's, you know, following after it. And then the Starro just explodes in the atomic, you know, with the atomic bomb. But the Green Lantern makes a shield to protect him from the explosion, and he sees the Starro warrior glowing like a blazing fire. And as he starts fighting him, this thing is shooting laser beams out of its tentacles.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. So
look, so, just go with it.
All right.
Just
go with it. So the Green Lantern zaps him in the eye with his lantern ring, which turns him into a tiny little like dried out starfish. And that's the end of the Green Lantern fight with him. And then we go over to Wonder Woman and John Jones, the Manhunter from Mars, where this massive Starro is attacking the Hall of Science. When I first saw this, I thought the Hall of Science was on a fucking boat because of the way it was shaped and how he picks it up.
That's fair.
And it took me a minute when I went back and saw that it was actually ripped out of the ground. Anyways, he steals the whole fucking building.
Yep.
This thing's massive. And as it's flying away with it, Wonder Woman lassos it with her lasso of truth. And then she tries to stop it by pulling back while standing on a building.
Look, she's learning.
Yep. But while this is
She's had 20 years to learn, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. While this is going on, Martian Manhunter is blowing a meteor shower into him. Oh, here we go. So Superman, the reason why he wasn't there is because he was breaking apart meteors that were going to hit the Earth. The Manhunter from Mars is using those pieces and his super breath. I didn't know he had super breath. To basically make he's pelting this Starro.
I do like that the super breath, instead of going straight out in that one panel, he's curving it.
Oh yeah, it's like
throwing super breath.
It's like throwing your voice. You can curve that too. You know. Anywho, but while this is going on. The lab lights on fire, and then he blows rain clouds over there to put it out.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah. And then it gets like it starts getting these special beams shooting out of its tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you call them tentacles, even if it's not a starfish.
I mean, the ends of the star.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you'd call those on a starfish, but anyways, the appendages. Arms,
appendages. Yeah.
There we go. Start shooting out these yellow blasts. Diane, Wonder Woman, reflects them off her bracelets. Martian Manhunter rips up a piece of the floor to reflect it at them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then Wonder Woman realizes that her lasso is still attached to it. She has the invisible jet, flying past, and she uses her lasso to catch the invisible jet to direct the Starro warrior on where to take the lab. Anyways, they continue fighting. And I guess This Starro was just trying to telepathically draw information from all the scientists that were in the science hall. And...
Well, especially if you're trying to steal the science hall, the science... You obviously can't because these two annoying creatures are attacking me. So I'm just going to mentally just steal everything else. So, makes sense.
Yeah. But, so while they're fighting it, the starfish keeps growing weaker and weaker, and then they beat it. And we have this nice little one shot of starfish and sea cucumbers that I didn't read. And then we go to Starro versus the Flash. And this is where we get introduced to a young hipster named Snapper.
Snapper Carr. Snapper is actually, this is his first appearance. And he becomes a mainstay in the comics.
Why?
If you remember... Did you watch season 2 of Supergirl? Yeah. No, season 3 of Supergirl.
Was that before or after the lead-up to Crisis?
That might have... Like, if an Earth's Crisis or Earth-X...
I've watched up to Earth X Crisis, I think.
It might be that season.
Okay.
I only asked because, so Jimmy was running the whatever, crap, what was that magazine? Whatever magazine they were at.
Yeah.
That, Cat Grant had. Jimmy was running it, and then Snapper Carr came in and took his place in, like, that following season.
I must not have gotten that far, though.
Okay. You'd recognize the actor. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but don't. That's the most recent thing I can remember him in. I know he's appeared in comics.
So he's a good guy then?
He's a good guy. He's an annoying good guy, but he's a good guy.
Gotcha.
Allegedly, he gets powers at some point in time too, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. It's that guy.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Anywho, but, so Snapper was, what was he, mowing the lawn? Yeah. He was fertilizing the lawn or seeding the lawn or something. And, for some reason, while he was out there doing that, his family gets brainwashed, and they're hypnotized into walking into town, where everybody else has been gathered up and, so Starro also has mental telepathy where he's controlling all of these people.
But that is a Starro power.
Okay.
That is something... The most notably for Starro, he will, like, attach a smaller Starro to your face. Very alien style. But that's how he can control a lot of people. He is just a giant starfish that will mentally control the other starfish, will then mentally control you. It's a network of...
Starfish.
Mental control.
But Snapper's following them. But he's not hypnotized for... I can't remember the reason. There's some reason why he's not hypnotized.
Because he's a mutant. Oh, wait, wrong property.
But so the Starro warrior that's here is like, oh, one of you is not under my power and must be destroyed. But luckily, the Flash jumps in there, saves him. The Flash is getting zapped at by this Starro. Runs it around in circles till it's dizzy. Yeah, right?
It's Flash's move. It's what he does.
Exactly. Then the Starro dips into the water to hide from the Flash. But the Flash uses his super vibrating speed to pull a Moses on this little lake here. And he finds Starro at the bottom. And then the water crashes back over the Starro warrior and... knocks it unconscious,
which
I guess.
Is weird because it's a starfish.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah, so then we get Snapper and the Flash, and Snapper's in a car being pushed around by the Flash instead of just like the Flash running with him.
Well, because he's only like 10. I know he's not 10; he's like a teenager, but he's too busy snapping his fingers every time instead of actually being able to drive. So you know.
Gotcha.
Because he's Snapper Carr.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't get that. It was annoying.
Yeah, but the Flash takes him back to town. And let's see. Blah, 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 blah. He says they've seen that there was another snapper, or not the snapper, no. another Starro that was out from there. So the Flash is like, good.
No, you're good.
The Flash is like, oh, I better get a hold of the rest of the Justice League so we can go take out this last one.
Yeah, I think the last one is the main one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so this Starro, who's been plotting with the other Starro warriors, turns into a big fucking yellow Starro, which makes him immune to the Green Lantern's ring.
Yes.
Because yellow is obviously, you know, the antithema of green.
There's a whole... When we do Green Lantern in a year, there's a whole reason why.
Apparently with... when you're afraid, you have no will.
If they get fixed in the future, it's fine.
Gotcha. I did read about the Blue Lantern ring today.
Oh, nice.
Well, Charlie had this weird looking little ring, and I'm like, oh, it's like a lantern ring. And he's like, yeah, what the hell's the blue one? And I'm like, I don't know. So I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, it's Hope. That's kind of cool, actually. And then I read him the little story about how two of the OAs split off and made their own little core
and
fight the Darkest Night prophecy.
Blackest Night.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
I can let you read that at some point.
Was the Blackest Night about Batman?
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's Darkest Night.
Yeah, I know. It's...
anyway.
Anywho, so they're fighting this Starro, and we find out that the reason why old Snapper was not affected was because he was coated in lime. And we find this out because he's blasted with the Green Lantern's spectrum of colors, and based on the color of reflection, he's able to tell that he was covered in lime oxide or calcium oxide and lime. And so they get some barrels of it and cover Starro in this, which causes his powers to be disrupted, and he dies or doesn't die, or he's a statue of lime. They just leave him there.
He's been captured, quote unquote captured.
And then Superman and Batman show up.
Well, yeah, because all the work's done.
And then Snapper's like, hey. And that's the end.
Well, really. He became an honorary JLA member.
Oh, that's right. He's like, yeah, I'll just let my fingers do the saying for me. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't read this one, but I did skim through it, and I saw Snapper, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, kid?
Yeah. That was, this one, okay. It could have been a good story, but I always feel like they focus on their own wrong things in these older comics.
But again, the older comics didn't you ruin my shit?
Well, no, your bag's ripped right here.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
The older comics, they didn't have a good story like we do nowadays.
Yeah, and
good connecting story at that.
And I mean, don't remember, like, even our ones today, they definitely pull from these.
Yes.
But they expand on them and make them better.
Better is definitely the word.
They just, like, this whole thing, like the Snapper thing, we could have done without.
Yeah.
I get it. That's why they call him Snapper.
Yeah. Every time we see him, he's.
Like, exactly. Really? I would assume that they weren't calling him Snapper because he was getting a lot of pussy. So.
Okay. Yep.
But. but I mean, like, and there's. Like, they could have just been like, oh. So this kid was immune. Oh, because he was liming the yard.
Yeah, but.
And then he wouldn't have been needed.
But Flash didn't need. Flash didn't know that.
Fair enough. I forgot it was Flash that found him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like. Apparently he was the only person that was liming their yard at that point in time.
Well, I mean, everybody else had already lined it, gone in, took a shower, changed their clothes.
Right.
Well, that's how we end that one.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more first appearances.